For 40 years, Walter and Elsa Verdaere have made up two-thirds of the Verdaere Trio. They've been joined by a number of pianists over the years. Sylvia Roederer has been the third member the last 15 years. On Tuesday night, they'll celebrate four decades together with a concert at MSU's Wharton Center. During that time, their repertoire has included hundreds of pieces that were specially commissioned for violin, clarinet, and piano. Current state Scott Pohl spoke with the Verdaeres about their work and their plans for this week's concert.
Well, it all started, actually, of course, when Walter and I met here at MSU and then got married. And we got married in 71. And 72 was really our first season, 72, 73. And we'd already played some of the major works, like by Bartok, by Stravinsky, and then there's several others. But we soon realized that if we wanted to continue to do this, we'd have to start commissioning, which we did. And now we've gotten, in all those 40 years, well over 200, I think about 225 up to 250. I have to count one day. And Walter has largely been in charge of all the commissioning. I kind of started it out because he was sort of a 19th century man. But he soon became a 20th century man. And he's wonderful on the phone. And he can talk to any composer, and rich or famous or whatever. Whereas I always feel a little intimidated. So he's terrific at that. And we represent this collection of works, represents really sort of all the major styles and trends of the end of the last century and the beginning of this century. So, and it's been purposefully so too. We have our avant-garde music, but we also have a great number of pieces that are very accessible and very lovely, many of which we're playing on the Wharton Center concert, so I hope people will come. We tried to pick our very favorites, movements of our very favorite pieces, to just show the variety and sort of kind of showcase our favorite pieces.
MSU has been very helpful to us. And it started in the early 80s when I went to see at that time he was provost, John Cantlin, or vice president for development. And I asked him for help in getting some funding to commission important composers because, you know, you do have to apply for funding. And he was interested in the idea. So he was helpful, and he continued that. And he introduced me then to Luana Simon when she became assistant or associate provost. And she also continued to help with our funding. We have gotten funding from outside also, and many composers have written for us just because they want to.
I wanted to ask you about how you approach a composer for a new piece. What sorts, if any, of guidelines do you give them? We would like a thematic design on a piece. We would like to emphasize the clarinet for a piece. No guidelines at all. How do you approach composers?
In all those ways, because, you know, some composers are approachable. Some of the older and very well-known composers, you really don't want to suggest anything to them, except Joan Tower said that when I asked her to write for us, I asked for certain things, like that she shouldn't put the clarinet and violin in unison for a long time because somebody had just done that. I mean, we do occasionally do that, and when it's a younger composer, sometimes we suggest an idea. Often with a composer from Tasmania, I suggested to him it would be wonderful if his piece could kind of be a tone poem about the Tasmanian devil. And he liked that idea.
He had seen some of those at the zoos, and they're ferocious.
Yes.
So go ahead.
So he liked that idea, and that acted as a kind of spark, and it inspired him, and the piece is beautiful.
And then I've asked composers, if possible, not to use the extreme high register of the clarinet. Some composers seem to delight in it. One of them said, oh, well, I like the strained sound of it. Well, I don't. I think the clarinet's a gorgeous instrument, particularly in the low register. And I've said, try not to forget that low register. I have said that. I've also said, don't dwell too long for it, too high. And if possible, end the piece loud. It never hurts to end the piece loud. But many of them don't. It got to be a real fad for a while to end softly.
Yeah. Yes,
now it's 50-50.
Softly.
Yes.
Do composers now approach you, I've written a piece for Trio, I need an outlet for it to get it out there? Does that happen?
Yes. Many composers have approached us and given us their pieces. And most of the time, I mean, we're interested in seeing them and delighted that they wrote them, but actually we have a backlog always of pieces that we have to learn ourselves, and because we commissioned them, and agreed to play them, you know. And so we usually have to say, well, if we get to it, but so it's, we're usually just overbooked.
Well, actually, for many years, we would do 8 to 10 premieres a year of pieces written for us. So that was really about all we could handle.
What has the Verdere Trio meant to some of these composers? I'm envisioning that for some, it's been the launching pad to a career or something along that line for some of the composers. Can you touch on what your work has meant to some of the composers?
I think, in general, composers are very aware of what we have done. And whether we've launched any careers, I just don't know. Would you?
I think
might have helped.
Often with the younger composers, you know, it's been helpful to them to be asked by us and to have their pieces recorded, because then they get reviews in national magazines, the American Record Guide and Fanfare and Strad Magazine often, and other publications will review their music then. So that's helpful. And with some of the important composers who have written for us, and I would mention Alan Hovhaness and Ned Roram, for example, and Peter Schickele, and Arutunian also, and Menotti. I think their pieces, I mentioned those pieces because they have really caught on and they're being played a lot. And so that's very important for, even for a famous composer, you know, is to have works in circulation that become part of the accepted repertoire. And there are other wonderful works that have been played a lot. The Balkum has been played a lot too.
What are your plans for the celebration concert at the Wharton Center?
Well, again, we're trying to do a survey of some of our most favorite pieces. We're presenting a premiere by a young Spanish composer, Octavio Vázquez, that's really a very exciting and very attractive piece, and he'll be at the concert. And then we're also doing two movements of William Balcom's Trio, which is just a wonderful work. He's such an imaginative, brilliant composer.
And we're ending with the Arutunian, the last two movements, because, as I say, it's what people really have liked.
Thank you.
we're beginning with a piece called Dash, which is 4.5 minutes of just pretty rapid-fire 16th notes.
The James Hartway, 5 postcards from Michigan. Then we're doing 3 of them. The first one's Beaumont Tower, the Carillon. And the second one is Sleeping Bear Dunes. And the third one, Tequamanum Falls.
That we won't discuss. We want them to be surprised, whomever is in the audience. But it's by Jim Niblock with references to MSU in other ways.
I know what it is, but I won't tell. Walter Verdaere and Elsa Verdaere, so much fun to spend some time with you. Congratulations on 40 years together with the Verdaere Trio, and good luck at the Wharton Center.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. We enjoyed it.